for sound, as they say. Sometimes things want to cooperate, and sometimes they don't. Now, I was given instructions on this a little bit. They said, Brother Tim, you had it a little bit too low, so we're going to put it up a little bit too high. Is that rude? Is that good? You got me, Russ? All right. All right. Good to be here this morning. It's good that the Lord speaks to hearts. Say what, Penny? And it's good to be here this evening. All right. Amen. Yeah, and it's good that we came back. Amen. Amen. A pastor told me the other day that I should be really thinking about the hereafter. And I told him I do all the time. No matter where I'm at, in the family room or upstairs or in the kitchen or in the basement, I'm always asking myself, now what am I hereafter? So I thought that might wake you up this afternoon. But we're going to be talking about lost and found tonight. And I believe that all of us have been lost at one time. Amen? You've either been physically lost or you've been spiritually lost. And if you've been physically lost, what usually happens is you run out of gas. Hey, right? You run out of gas somewhere. And then when you run out of gas, you got to think, what's my environmental condition? Did I blow a hose on my vehicle? Do I need water? My car just died and it's cold weather. Do I got coats? Do I got gloves? Do I got shelter? Do I got food? There's a danger of uncertainty. There's times in Chicago that you don't want to get a flat or be on the side of the road because you don't like the danger of uncertainty or being lost. I know that many of you wives that are here, your husband, you'll tell him, you'll say, you know what? We're lost. We don't know where we're at. And her husband won't even pay attention to you. He'll keep driving. Amen? And Penny's dad used to say, Tim, you're not lost until you run out of gas. And then you're lost. So we know that in instances, we know the feeling of being lost. We know the feelings of being in danger. And we know the feelings of a husband that's so bullheaded that he won't just go down the road and pull over and ask the filling station manager, how do I get to this destination? Somebody's waving their head. Yeah, I know what that's about. And it's a female. But anyway, we got a lot of things today that we use and do. We got TomToms and Garwins, and many times you'll rely on them, right? You got a destination, you put it in your mobile device, and it takes you somewhere. And have you ever been taken to a lake? My mobile device took us one time right in the middle of a lake. So you can't always count on mobile devices to get you through. But there's a lost feeling. And we can be spiritually lost. You can be physically lost. And spiritually lost if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we can also be lost that you may have accepted Him, but you've not made Him Lord and Master. There's another part of the equation about salvation. Amen? Oh me. Oh nothing. Do I hear anything out there? Amen? Amen or oh me? So, when you're spiritually lost, it means you've not accepted the Lord. It means that hell is your destination. And we do say that today. And that will be the part of the equation. Now, we have a young man here. You know about algebra, right? And you have an equation. All right, and you figure out the outcome. If you have physics, you have an equation. You figure out the outcome. If you have chemistry, you have an equation. You figure out the outcome. Now, this Common Core math, I cannot figure out the outcome. That Common Core just baffles me. Anybody deal with Common Core yet? Maybe you don't even have that anymore. But I tell you, if you had a kid that's dealing with a Common Core, it's very, very different to come up with the equation. You're never wrong, in fact. They just want you to know if you can try to figure the problem out. But that's another text. But anyway, we are reminded in our life, in our physical life, about the feeling of being lost. Amen? We know physically how it is to be lost. And Jesus Christ came to the earth in Luke 19, verse 10. He says, "For the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost." And that damage was done by Adam and Eve. And so He wants to renew a relationship with us, and He has used Christ, His Son, to renew that relationship, to be the building bridge to bring us to Christ. Over there in Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid iniquity on him of us all." So, it ain't what I believe or what I think is right. It's what the Word of God says is right. We've all turned to our own way. And there's only one right way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can tell you something here. You can be lost, and lost is actually, in a way, a good position. Do you know that? Being lost is a setup and a good position. When you say that you're lost, you tell the world, I have a purpose for somebody. I got a destination to have. I got a place to be. I'm worth value because I'm lost and I need to be found. And someone feels a sense of loss when you're not around. So lost can be a good thing. The word lost, used by Jesus, says you have a spiritual purpose and you just ain't found it yet. Amen? In God's view, there's a relationship. There's a relationship we should be in, and that relationship is with Jesus Christ. And if we say no to that relationship, then hell awaits us. And we're dead in our trespasses of sin. So I want to tell you, believing in God is just not good enough. I want to tell you that the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. We're not only supposed to believe God, but we're supposed to love God. And the devils did not love God, but they believed in Him, knew of His power, knew of His existence, and knew of His purpose. So we got to see there, belief without surrendering your life will not save you. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow after Him. So we follow Christ. But you're valuable to the Lord because He laid His life down for you. You know, we're living in a world today that everything is disposable. We got disposable plates. We got disposable cups. We got disposable forks, napkins. Everything doesn't really have a value anymore, but God cares. You have great value. He proved that on Calvary, and I want to tell you that He knows your stature. He knows your frame. He knows what you're going through. He wants you to have victory in your life. And you're valuable. And He desires to prove that. But the problem is that men reject Him and still reject Him. John 3:19, light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, there used to be a family come to this church years ago. It was the Colbert family. Some of you may not remember them or even know them. They worked the bus ministry. And they said, "Brother Tim, let's go help a family in inner city Indianapolis, let's go help them move." "Hey, yeah, that's great. Let's help them. They have need. Let's go help them move." Well, you know how it is when you're moving somebody. Well, we were moving them, and all of a sudden, we picked up this refrigerator, and we moved it. And you know what happened? All these roaches. Roaches everywhere. Moved a refrigerator, moved a stove, roaches everywhere. And time we were over getting it done, we were doing like this. "Oh, we got to move it." We tried to put our caps on and our gloves on and everything else, and we was trying to do a service to these people, but we didn't know roaches was involved, and roaches do not like the light. And that's the way some men's hearts are. They don't like the light of the gospel. They don't like the love of Christ. And so the Word of God is the light unto men's heart, and they scatter rather than to accept it. But Jesus illustrates His love for the lost, and we're going to get in the text here. We're going to do some reading tonight on Luke 15, verse 4. And we might be verse 4 to 24. That sounds good, don't it? Luke 15, verse 4, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid upon it his shoulder and went away rejoicing," or carried it. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I lost. And I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, do not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and hers neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And then look at verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth unto me, and divided unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all that he had, he arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fainted, have his belly been filled with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough, and to spare I perish with hunger? And I will raise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called the son, but make as thou a hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell and kissed his neck and kissed him, or grabbed his neck and kissed him. And the father said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called a son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead. I always marveled at that verse. This my son was dead. This represents God the Father and others in heaven, two sons in heaven. He said, my son was dead while he was with me. That's why he left the Father's house. But for this my son was dead and is alive again. You had to be dead the first time to be alive again. And he was lost and now he is found, and they begin to make merry. So I just wanted to read those verses because we have a shepherd that had 100 sheep. One got lost. He left the 99, found the sheep, and he went away rejoicing, carrying it up on his shoulders. We had a woman that had 10 coins. She searched the house, and she found the coin and rejoiced. We had a father and a son, and the son left, and the son finally returned, and they were rejoicing. And these parables show the worth. They show the worth of your soul's salvation. It's worth more than anything the world can offer. And parables like these that show things that are lost, also showing things that are lost spiritually. See, people today are lost and they're loving being lost. I said before, just believing in God will not save you, because you've got to believe and He's got to be the Lord and Master of your life. Amen? You've got to be surrendered to His will. I'm going to Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And being lost can be fun. Amen? Being lost can be fun. Several years ago, when our daughters were young, we decided to take a trip. And there was a girl by the name of Carrie Farley that used to attend here. And she was an older teenager. And we wanted to go to Myrtle Beach. So here we are having a good time going to Myrtle Beach. Took a babysitter so me and Penny could have some time alone. And we were coming home from Myrtle Beach. And we were having a good time. Penny decided to take a nap in the back seat with the kids. And me and Carrie was in the front seat. We was just singing the songs of glory. We was just going down the road, just singing, just as happy as we can be. And all of a sudden, Penny wakes up from her nap. And we're just singing and rejoicing, going down the road. And Penny says, West Virginia? I didn't pay attention. We were singing. We were having a great time going down the road. West Virginia. We're supposed to be going to Indianapolis, Indiana, not West Virginia. Well, I don't know. It must have been a detour or something. Didn't see it. Well, she was kind of a little hot on the collar. We had like a two-hour delay. It wasn't that bad. She was back there kind of steaming. But what you know is this. It was a funny thing. That during that time, there was a tornado in southern Indiana. And that detour provided us actually a clear route But we didn't get harmed. So I kind of say, it was God's will, Penny. It was just God's will. But we were lost. We were singing down the road. We were lost. Didn't know we was going to West Virginia until Penny seen the sign before we went. But we was enjoying it. We was enjoying our lostness. It was all right. Are you always miserable when you're lost? Are you always? No. No. I had fun. Carrie Farley had fun. Penny didn't have fun, but we did. Lost and loving it. But there's a way that seems right unto the man, but that way leads to destruction. Let's look at that prodigal son. Certain men had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that's fallen me. And he divided them into his living. The son had a relationship with the father. Something happened. Home ain't so fun anymore. There's a venture somewhere else. It's over in the distant country. I can go to a place that my father doesn't have any restrictions on me. I can go over there where the fun's at. I don't have to have a boss anymore. I can leave my father, take the goods, my inheritance, my portion. And what did he do? He wasted it on riotous living. He had a bankroll. He had a lot of money. When he had a lot of money, he had a lot of friends. He had a lot of self-gratification. It was all about him. Was the son lost? He was. But if you asked him if he was lost, he would say, I'm loving it. I'm loving every bit of it. God never said sin isn't fun. Hebrews 11:25, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Amen? For a season. Sin's short-sighted. What did he do? He went down. He went to a far country. He spent his life on uncontrolled living. And when he spent all that he had, there rose a famine in the land and he began to be in want. His friends all left him because the money was all gone. He went and he joined himself with what? A citizen of that country, and he began to feed swine. Well, he was a Jew. A Jewish boy does not have nothing to do with swine or pigs. They don't eat it. But he got so needy. He got so needy that he ate the husks that the pigs eat. And so sin is like a credit card. It is. You receive offers in the mails on your credit cards, don't you? They give you lures and bonuses and different things. They really give you free airline tickets. They give you some perks. They'll sometimes give you instant checks in the mail, $100, $1,000, $10,000. They entice you that you need it now, and you accept it. And when you accept those things, you'll be compounded interest 15%, 25%, 30%. And that's the same way sin does. Sin offers fun on credit. You may not pay it now, but there will be a payday someday. Amen? There'll be a payday someday. It all starts with one drink, one smoke of a marijuana cigarette, a theft, an affair, a cuss word. I'm going to tell you, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than what you want to pay. It'll keep you always longer than you want to stay. Amen? It will do that. Jesus wants to save us from all that. He wants to give us abundant life. He wants to give us a victorious life. You see, no one gets lost on purpose. Nobody really gets lost on purpose. Look about the lady with the lost coin. She was preoccupied with things that are going on, and she dropped the coin. Now, I want to ask, have you ever... I'm still hanging, but that's all right. I'll wrap it around. That'll be good. All right. Have you ever lost a child? Come on, have you ever lost a child? Like in Walmart, Penny and I, we lost little Javen one time. You ever lost a child in a store someplace? What happens to you? First, your stomach just like falls out, falls to the pits. And then you have some intense fellowship with your wife. I thought you washed him. No, I thought you had him. Right? Well, you better find him. You're in trouble. No, you better find him. You're in trouble. And I call that intense fellowship. We still love each other. It's just more intense. All right? But what happened to that child? He's supposed to stay with us. What happened to us? He started getting preoccupied. There's a toy aisle. I'm going to head down the toy aisle. And before he's heading down the toy aisle. Well, Penny, I'm heading down the car aisle. I got preoccupied. I think I got Javen. And I'm heading down the car. She's heading down the beauty aisle and all those things, you know. She's heading down that aisle. So I'm preoccupied, and that's preoccupied. And that's how we kind of misplace our walk with the Lord. We get preoccupied. Preoccupied. So you have some preoccupation. So, what is God's word telling us about the lost sheep? He nibbled himself away. The grass looks greener on the other side. Really, the grass is the same on both sides of the fence. I just ain't ate there yet. That's the problem. But so the lost sheep is just nibbling himself, preoccupied in another place. The lost coin was kind of just careless about my walk with God. Maybe take it for granted. The lost son represents a miscalculation. See, the lost son, he thought, I got a better way than God's way. I got a better way than my father's way. It's more exciting than being at my father's house. But it was the wrong way. See, going in that direction, it drained his life source out of him. And that's sometimes what happened to a Christian that had their eye on Jesus, was walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden, the cares of this life, the miscalculation, not putting God first. So, lost sheep represent the people that get lost spiritually due to their preoccupation. I got a job. I got to make money. I got to make a living. Man, I go hunting and fishing every weekend. The lost coin represents people that never give much thought about their salvation. I believe in God. I'm not living for God. I'm not surrendered to God. But I believe. We're going to do a little justification tonight, just for fun. If we was to look at James chapter 2, verse 14, we're going to have an exercise in real faith. You know, there's a real faith, a living faith, a true faith, and a dead faith. Now the prodigal son, he represented a dead faith. Walked in the father's house, been around the father, had the father's protection. But he said, you know what? It ain't working for me. I'm going down to XYZ town where there's fun and excitement. I don't know if you ever look at this verse the same way, because it shot me in the arm one day when I was reading it. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Proving point. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one say of you depart in peace and be filled and warm, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Someone needs some food, someone needs a shelter, they come to you, God lines you up with them, and you say, be peace and warm filled, brother. The Lord will take care of you. And you have the needs to provide and help him. You say you have faith, but you're not doing it by helping this man or this lady. Now, that's what he says. He says, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so, if it have not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But thou know, O vain man, that without works, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son up on the altar? See that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Now look at that. Now that was a pretty awful quest that Abraham had to do with his son. You know, Abraham prayed for a son, got a son at old age. God said, take your son, go up on Mount Moriah, offer him as a sacrifice. And he did it. And at the last moment, just to make the story short, you know, as Abraham was bringing up that knife to kill the son, God provided a ram in the thicket. Amen? Now, what would it have done, Abraham, to hear the word of God? This is what I want you to do, Abraham. Take your son, walk up the mountain, go to Mount Moriah, and sacrifice your son. What would it do? Why would it count for faith if I heard the word of God? He gave me a commandment to do, but I did not do it. I believe in you, God. I believe in your word, but you know what? I am not living your word, and I am not doing your word. Where's the faith? And so to justify it, he says this in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. Drop your jaw and go, oh. Everybody's walking around, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe all what he did. I believe all what Jesus Christ fulfilled. You believe in him. You have a belief in God, but you don't have a living, walking faith in God. And there's a big difference. You see how by thy works a man is justified and not by faith alone. Skip down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Whoa. So not only do we have to have a belief in God, we have to live out God and the word of God. Oh, we're just fooling ourselves. Now, we talked about Rahab the harlot this morning. But look in verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. She heard about the word of God. She heard about the works of God. She was even willing to sacrifice her own life that the spies might be saved. Her belief in God, and it really amazes me, caused her to do works, save the spies, send the guards out another way. She had active faith. And God rewarded her with that. Amen. A lost coin in the scripture verse represents a people that have got maybe the knowledge of God, and they got a belief in God, but they've got preoccupied with other things. Remember the lost son, he had it all. But he said there's a better way. And he miscalculated. And he found himself in a pigsty. Preoccupation, carelessness. They all end up in a lost condition. And lastly, I'm just going to tell you, we're all born lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So while we get lost, back to Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but that way leads the way of death. We've got to follow God's plan of salvation. It's not Tim's plan. It's not anybody's plan except the Lord's. You know, bad things automatically happen to people if you don't do something about it. You've got to do something about your salvation, and you've got to do something about your walk with the Lord. You've got to keep it fresh. You've got to... Okay, let's just do an example here. If I'm putting a roof on, and I got a hammer and nails, and I don't pay attention to this thumb right here, and I just go, what happens if I don't move my finger out of the way? Bad things happen automatically, not unless you do something about it, amen? Well, if you get up in the morning, you got to get a drink of water, and you don't turn the light on, and you smack your toe on the furniture, what happens? Bad things happen if you don't do something about it, amen? How about if you go out in the sun and forget your sunblock, what happens? You get sunburned because you didn't do something about it. Why have some of us men, we get a little bit of hurry and we don't let the shaving cream work in real good. What happens when we go a little too fast? Bad things happen if you don't do something about it. How about if you don't brush your teeth? What's going to happen? You're going to get some cavities, right? How about if you get a cup of coffee from McDonald's and you don't test it? Or Hardee's. Hardee's is real hot. What happens if you don't test it? What happens? You burn your mouth. What happens if you don't set your clock from Easter time to the slow time, or what happens? You're either an hour late or an hour early. Bad things happen if you don't do something about it. Huh? What happens if you don't finish school or get a GED? A lot of times it's a hard time to get a job. Men, what happens if you don't put antifreeze or oil in your car? What happens? What happens? Huh? You make money and everybody else got a broken car. Because if you don't do something, bad things automatically happen. What happens if you don't make your car payment or your house payment? What happens? Bad things happen. They come repo it. And if you don't ask for directions like we talked about, the bad thing will happen is your wife will be mad at you. But anyway, it's simple. And this is very simple. It's simple to be lost. Just don't do anything about it. And bad things will happen. You got to do something to be saved. You got to accept Jesus Christ in your heart and your life. You can't have belief only. I'm going to tell you, know that you know that you know that you know that you love God and your relationship with God, because I'm going to tell you, you can walk around and be in a false belief system, because faith without works is dead. Faith, what are the works? Well, serving God, praying to God, being faithful to church and church attendance, being faithful to God. Man, you've been bought, you've been saved, and you know what? Your life doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. It's like people get saved, and they go, I got saved, I want the ticket to heaven, amen. Now, let me just live my life how I want to, how I was living before I was saved. Amen or on me? Can't hear you. Amen or on me? Let's get these amens up. See, a man is justified by his works. Now, works don't save a man. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. But once a man is saved, he is willing to work for God, serve God, be obedient to God. There was a transition that takes place. Wow. But you've got to do something about something. If you're not saved, you've got to get right with the Lord. And if you have a faith that is not a living faith, a serving faith, a following faith, you better get that right. This is something you can't play games with. You better know that you know. I'm going to tell you, if you don't do something about that salvation, you're going to turn up lost every time. Lost is the default of life. I know some of you have computers, you buy a computer, you set it up, you plug it in, and everything goes to default. Defaults of this, default, you have to reprogram it or set it up how you want to program it, or everything's working off the default system. That's factory oriented, right? That's how it came out of the box, you plugged it in, and you say, I just run the programs, and that's how it's run. If you want to do something special, call the computer guy out. But lost is the default of life. You are born lost. You're already defaulted that way. from God's point of view, we're all born lost. And human nature is flawed, and that's why God sent His Son. And if people live their lives apart from following God and going their own way, they're going to stay lost. Because life without Christ is the world's default mode. And I'm going to tell you something, you can't play games. You can't play games with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, Penny and I went to Penny's mom's 80th birthday. And there's some people, and it'll blow your mind. There's some people that are saved that went to the party, and there were some people that were unsaved, and a lot more unsaved. And there was alcohol there. Can't stop that. We didn't drink it. They drank it. Some of them drank it. And some got talking, and one of them come up just drunk, and she goes, "I just love the Lord, Brother Tim, and I do try to serve Him." And I was like, oh, wow. They don't know what they serve. They have a belief system. They know about God. They have the knowledge of God. They may be even raised in church. But God help them, they're not serving God. And they don't have the lordship of Christ in their life. And see, when you're saved, you make Him king. He is king of your life. He is king of your desires. And I hate to tell you this, but I think this lady or another one of her relatives that was also drunk teaches Sunday school class in one of the churches around here in this area, and I'm not going to mention it. So here they go to church in a Sunday school class with a hangover and teaching the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us not to be a drunkard. Amen. And those that do such things shall not have eternal life. And she's teaching a Sunday school class. She has a knowledge of God. She has a profession of faith. But the relationship ain't right. She's actually a prodigal daughter. But she thinks she's okay. Do you know a lot of people think they're okay because they believe, but they don't have a love? Jesus said in His Word, "If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments." He said, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow after Me." That's not only just knowledge and speaking and communication, but that's a lifestyle. Our lifestyle matches up with Jesus. We try to be Christ-like. We try to be Christ's followers. You're valued to God. He gave His life for you. He died on the cross for you. Some people have to come to their senses, just like this prodigal son. And what forced him to his senses is that he left out of his life substance was just ate out of him. He went to riotous living. He did all he could in the world. He spent all his money in the world. And the world would eat you up. Came to his senses. He came back home to his father's house. The father kind of met him halfway. Have you noticed, God don't really kind of run after. He stays where He's at. When we leave the Lord, we do the walking away. Amen. But when he seen the son, he had compassion, and he went to the far end of the field, let's put it that way, and he restored him. He said, "I sinned against heaven, and I sinned against My Father." And he was dead. He was living in the Father's house. He had a relationship with the Father. But that relationship got cold. He was dead spiritually, and that's why he said, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." That's like dead twice and alive again. So here we are. Do nothing about your salvation, you're going to stay lost. The lost sheep was preoccupied with the world, their jobs, their career, they're making a living, they got plans, but they leave God out. The lost coin, it was careless, I believe in God, but I just believe I'm not surrendered, I'm not giving you the lordship of my life. Lost son miscalculated, he thought, I got a better way. Have you ever come across anybody, this is a sideline, have you ever come by anybody that looks for loopholes in the Bible? Loopholes not to serve the Lord. Well, I found this loophole that I might not have to do. What is wrong with God's people that we got to try to find a loophole not to serve Him? We ought to be completely in servitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. He redeemed us. Our lives was going in the wrong direction. Man, I got guys I played basketball with dead. I got guys I went to school with that are dead. Drugs and alcohol and overdoses. Never received the message of the Lord. Also miscalculated. Thought there's a better way. You know, sometimes as Christians we can lose ground. We kind of look at circumstances and we lose ground. We can lose ground in our marriages. We can lose ground in our homes. We can lose ground with our kids. The devil likes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's good at that. See, when you lose something, you want to get it back. Amen. Sometimes you can lose the sweetness of the Lord. Sometimes you can lose that everything becomes a duty. And it ain't a joy. It's like a duty. And duty's good sometimes to get you by. But there's nothing like serving the Lord with fresh joy and with fresh expectation. Sometimes we lose some things. We lose it. It gets out of our grasp. We miscalculate here or there. Sometimes we think we can just run on afterburner. Run on the leftovers. I'm going to tell you, you can get so tired and wore out running on the leftovers. You can miscalculate there. And what you have to do is ask the Lord for just a fresh amount of faith. And a fresh start. And if any of you are out there that your faith is not where it should be, you need to get it right. Don't walk out of this place without getting it right. That's what revival is about. Knock on some people's door. I ain't seen you in church for a few months or whatever. I'm okay, right? I'm all right, preacher. You get one of this, well, don't call us, we'll call you. Right? Don't call us, we'll call you. Ain't right. Some hurt, some problem. The devils came in, gave them a root of bitterness, and they just shut down. They shut down spiritually. I'm going to tell you, the devil's good at that. He's really good. We can miscalculate there. He's good. He's a blindsider. Just like that woman that lost the coin. She's probably busy doing something and just kind of fell out somewhere. He likes to hit you when you're not looking. But I'm going to tell you, if your faith ain't secure, remember, faith without works is dead. We are justified by our faith. He said a man is justified when he walks in the commandments of the Lord. It's the difference between knowing, doing, or living. So where are you tonight? Has circumstances, has jobs, career, business drain you? Rob some things? You serving the Lord out of duty and not out of love and compassion? You got that faith thing grounded? Where you know that you're saved? And you don't use it as a barrier when somebody, yeah, I believe in God, man, I'm good. You look at families. You see them serving the Lord, following the Lord out of love. And you see other families that say they love the Lord. No, I'm at a basketball game this week. I'm doing this week. I'm doing that this week. I may see you maybe three weeks from now at church. And they've put everything ahead of God. The God that saved us, the God that redeemed us, the God that gave his life for us, and what do we do? God, I don't got time for you now. I thank you for that saving ticket that you give me. But Lord, I don't got time for you right now because I've got so much business going on in my life. And we push him out and we make a big miscalculation. Where are you at tonight? Have you done some miscalculation? Has the devil tried to rob some territory in your life? Where you at? Where you at? Do you know that you know you're saved? Or do you make a profession of faith, but you're not living for him? Faith without works is dead. I didn't say this. See, I'm gonna leave this revival, and the brother over here is going to say, Tim, you made people mad. I'm not making anybody mad. I'm just preaching the Bible. Amen? Did you find out where I didn't preach the Bible? I read it. Okay? So anyway. If that hurts you, if that cuts somewhere in the heart, praise God. Because you're savable. And God ain't done with you. If you feel some kind of tear in your heart from that, you come tonight and you get right with God. And you say, Lord, I served you with like a head knowledge, but Lord, you didn't have all my heart. And you come tonight and you give him your heart. And you give him your life. And you live that abundant life. Don't say, I want the ticket, I believe in you, but I ain't living for you. That doesn't make sense. That is not even biblically correct. Maybe some of us just got preoccupied with busyness. And it can even be church. That we've lost some of our joy. And I'm going to tell you, this word gives you back your joy. If you listen to it. Let's speak to your heart. This is the living word. It changes lives. It redeems lives. It makes you good for the master's use. And sometimes you get all used up and you're just spilled out for the Lord, and then you just need a refilling of his Holy Spirit. I've had to ask that before. I get to the point like a burnt out feeling. And I just have to get calm and say, Lord, just refill me with your Spirit. That could be usable for you in a mighty way. Travis, won't you come play something? But if the Lord has spoke to your heart in some way, in some manner tonight, if I said something that pricked your heart, it ain't me pricking it. It's the Holy Spirit himself doing it.